Extra Time with Ronan Quirk.
Opel's next bold move has arrived. The all-new Mokka is tugged out and ready for action. To test drive the all-new Mokka, call to Kevin O'Leary Group Clonmel today.
Hello, good evening and welcome to another edition of Extra Time. My name is Ronan Quirk. We're here until 8 o'clock. Our text number is open to you now. It's 083 311 3311. Lots to cover in tonight's show. Not a lot of good news over the weekend for our ladies footballers, our Camogie Stars, for our senior hurlers and for our senior footballers. Four defeats out of four on those. But let's, give you some results from the club championship. The West Tip 2020 Intermediate Hurling Final took place. Knockavilla Kickhams 419, Kappa White 218. And in the County Hurling Leagues, Ross Gray and Nina drew 122 apiece. Clonalty Rossmore 225, Killadangan 213. Killinall 22 points, Mary's 14 points. Portrow 27 points, Laura Dara 18 points. Moneygall 316, Ballinahinch 16 points. Shannon Rovers 119, Bursa Kane 215. Thurles Sarsfields 123, JK Brackens 214. Mycarkey Barra 16 points, Carrick Swan 19 points. Sorry, but Mycarkey Barra 16 points, Carrick Swan 19. Quite a different result, my apologies. Win there for my Carkey Boris. In Group 2B, Aeroga and Carthy, Donohill 19 points, Holy Cross Ballycal 210, Newport 211, Sean Tracy's 16 points, Gertnahoo Glen Gool 117, Cashel King Cormac's 214, a draw, Temple Derry Kenyon's 421, Ballina 12 points, Ballingarry and Kilcheel and Kilcash didn't take place, and that's a walkover as far as I can see for Ballingarry, I'm suggesting by what's in front of me. Arvale Rovers 117, Golden Kilfeacle 115, Ballybacon Grange 217, Mile Rovers 15 points, and Moyne Templetuohy 325, Bohorlahan Douala 119. So we'll turn our attention to Intercounty next, because Tipperary were defeated on their final league outing of the season 3 weeks before championship. They were defeated by Waterford in Walsh Park yesterday. Let's get the thoughts of Liam Sheedy. He spoke to Tip FM Stephen Gleeson just after the game.
Look, you know, best team won, you know, we can have no complaints, Stephen. We had a good first half and went 6 points clear. I think we were 1-12-9 at one stage and had a bit of a cushion, but Waterford took over and, you know, we went in that 1 point up, and, you know, there's a nice breeze here. So, you know, in the second half then they tagged on a few scores very, very early on. You know, they got that 6 or 7 clear. Thought the boys showed great heart. You know, we got them back to a point, but again, conceded a few frees inside. And look, you'd have to say that Waterford had the more energy on the pitch today. You know, they were winning the middle third. They were getting the better quality ball into their inside line. And when they do, it's hard to defend. They were coming off the shoulder at pace today. And, you know, we struggled on the middle third. We struggle on breaking ball, so loads to work on. But look, overall it's been a good league campaign. You know, we've learned loads about ourselves, and it's all about championship now, so we get 3 weeks to prepare.
The start of the second half, Waterford came out and they just seemed to put up a couple of early scores and got a bit of breathing room for themselves and found their feet in the game.
Look, they're a nice team, they're a fine team, and in fairness they're very, very well drilled. And you know, they had a better that second half, and there's no point in saying anything else. You know, I would say John McGrath went in and made a telling contribution after going in, you know, but ultimately, as I said, we came up that little bit short today. And, you know, that's disappointing for us. You know, we felt there was a chance of getting into a league final if we had to win today. So that aspect of us is disappointing. I think the game was there for us to win, and we didn't do that today. And we just lacked a bit of energy on the pitch today. And so we've got a tough 3 weeks work ahead of us now to get ready.
The defence was looking really steady, really, and then you just met Desi Hutchinson, and the pace of him is something else, like, and that's something we may have to worry about if we meet him again in the championship.
Oh yeah, look, they're a fine forward line, and you know, especially if they get really good ball in. But you know, and as I said, I think overall our defensive displays throughout this league has been top class. And as I said, today was the first day that we came a little bit unstuck. But I think, in fairness, I think some of the ball going in made it very, very hard to defend. You know, you're against top class opposition. The ball going in has to be, you know, if we get it in 50-50, you know, I'd back my boys to deal with it. But today, I'm afraid, you know, it was good quality ball going in, which is very, very hard to defend.
And Liam, what's the story with Niall O'Mara and with Bubbles? Will they be back soon?
Well, Niall has his appendix out, so unfortunately Niall will be out for a few weeks, probably rules him out for 3 weeks time. You know, Bubbles hopefully is back full training next week, all going well. So look, Niall and Bonner won't be available for selection, I'd imagine, in the first round, but all going well, Niall should be back around the middle of July, I'd expect. We wish him well. As I said, it's unfortunate, but he had his appendix out last week.
So you have who you have, really, and the rest of the players are all fit.
Yeah, look at it. You know, as I said, I still believe we have a really strong panel. We've learnt a lot over the league. Some guys have got chances. More guys will get a chance to put their hand up over the next 3 weeks. And whatever team comes to the pitch will be well ready come championship.
Excuse me, that's Liam Sheedy. Excuse me, speaking to Stephen Gleeson immediately after the match in Walsh Park yesterday. Let's get some reaction from Tip FM's analyst, Ken Hogan, who joins me on the line. Hi, Ken.
Roland, how are you?
Very well indeed. I think one of the key things that Liam suggested there was the quality of ball going in to the Waterford forward line and the pressure it was putting under our back line. So rather, you know, you can compliment the backs for how they dealt with it, but you're going to have to point some fingers at our midfield and half forward line, and indeed our full, all our forwards, perhaps needing to work a little harder.
Yeah, I suppose you put your finger on it there, Ronan, and Liam as well mentioned, obviously, Bill O'Meara. We have to, forget about Bonner now at this stage, unfortunately. Yeah, it's just a situation like 2019 that we're going to be doubting. But we lacked battling qualities up front. We were going grand in the first quarter. We had that 5 or 6 point lead. Things seemed to be going well. But then a couple of breaks went against us. One, Cathal Barrett received a nasty blow to the hand, which could have resulted in a straight red, in my opinion. Had to receive treatment and stitches in the dressing room. I think that seemed to unsettle us a lot, because what happened then was Cathal came back into the fray after a number of minutes, and straight away we were hit with two sucker punches of goals. One which was unfortunate that Cathal and Brendan just collided. On another day, it wouldn't happen. I think we would call the ball, particularly in Championship hurling, backs need to win ball at all costs. But I just feel that the two goals before half-time put us on the back foot straight away. They came into the second half with the breeze. All guns blazing. I think, in fairness to Liam Cathal, he did mention the fact that that was his last 70-minute workout before they played Clare. But they had to be at full tilt. He felt they needed to be showing championship form, you know, because on Sunday week, they obviously had to come up against their rivals there. So
I got the sense at half-time that Liam must have said something like, you've got 35 minutes now to get a jersey for the Clare game. And that gave them a different impetus for the second 35 than we had.
Yeah, and I think Liam Cathal has succeeded in getting the best out of this team. I think we were holding us at least very well. It's amazing how things can transpire. But Kieran Bennett came in at midfield and done a lot of damage. Roland, he was flying through the middle. They were running in trees through the middle. And what happened was we were losing possession too easily up front. We actually had possession a number of occasions, Roland, lost possession, and it meant then that it was like a breakaway. It just broke away from us. And we were looking to survive a couple of situations where there was one-on-one in the second half at our end. So I think, you know, also a simple equation that will never happen in Championship hurling, in my opinion, Tipperary were pulled for 4 personal fouls. In the fact that we actually had possession, either overcarried it or played it on a hurley 2 or 3 times. So that was 4 points for Stephen Bennett to smack over the bar. And I think,
does that just suggest that fellas weren't mentally at it? That they, you know, that you say that doesn't happen in Championship, but is that a mental lethargy that may be as a result of just a tough week?
Yeah, well, it could be a tough week. It was a very hot day down there. People were complaining. I came back to Ross Gray about the cloudy day, but I can tell you it was an absolute 26-degree roaster down in Walsh Park. It was an early start as well, 1:45, which meant the tip boys had to be down early. Not giving excuses or anything like that, but probably Waterford were better prepared in the sense that they needed this game 2 weeks out from Clare. Clare the big win against Kilkenny as well. So both games, like the tables were overturned, and Clare showed a lot of fire. So this Clare Waterford game, like Liam Cathal knows bloody well that this is going to be a hard battle. And if Tony Kelly and Shane O'Donnell, these guys did a good day, they're very hard to stop. So I'm not taking it in any instance that automatically they have to be a tip water for semi-finals. It's far from that. So I think there was a lot of things happening yesterday. You know, obviously we've mentioned Niall O'Meara, the appendicitis. Bubba's coming back next week. Brian McGrath was rested yesterday. He's had a tremendous league campaign. John McGrath came in and scored a brilliant point, you know, made a big difference. So it's just our forward line obviously weren't, as Steve mentioned there, settling on the ball. We were dispossessed too easily, and then it resulted in Walsh Park, which even when I was playing, was a bit of a graveyard for his Roland, in the fact that it's just one of those tight fields where Waterford just loved to run right in. And yesterday for 15 minutes, they absolutely did that. So we just have a little bit of soul searching to do. Owen Connolly got in yesterday. Obviously, we'd like to see a lot more of Owen. He's one of these guys that got in. Mark Kehoe got in. But I think overall...
Craig Morgan got in.
Craig Morgan, of course, and Paul Flynn. And Willie Connors.
Yeah, but we've seen Willie, in fairness. No disrespect to Willie.
These are the guys. You see, like, at the end of the day, you've got to get your 21 players, you know, you've got to get your 21 players ready for championship. He's ruling out Niall O'Mara. I just hope that with appendicitis that maybe a week or 10 days that the soreness will go away and that maybe Niall will get 10 days training. I don't know that, obviously. But
that's
obviously,
Bowman
coming back would be a big fillip, because we're missing an X factor up front. We're just missing that X factor up front. And our backs have been good up to now, but they were under incessant pressure yesterday. I could put no fault on Paddy or Cahill's side, because they were under incessant pressure and they were exposed to the fact that they were hitting the D the whole time, they were hitting the corners the whole time, exposed to that. I think Tipperary's backroom team will have been the busiest people yesterday, Ronan, in the fact that they were observing what Waterford are capable of doing when they get a run on you. So I think there will be a lot of homework done if it is a Waterford tape semi-final. There will be a lot of homework done as regards our defence, but particularly, as you mentioned at the start of this, our work rate up front, our bravery and our courage to win hard ball. That wasn't evident yesterday. That's what you need in championship.
I think you've made an interesting point, Ken, in relation to how we view this game, and we need to view it through the prism also of the Clare Kilkenny result, and that Tip and Kilkenny aren't out for 3 weeks. Waterford and Clare are out in two, and there's more importance afforded to that time scale than perhaps I gave credence for. Is that fair?
Yeah, without a doubt, without a doubt. And we have that 3 weeks window. You know, I presume the lads are back tomorrow night. We have that 3 week window to get guys organised. Obviously, you have to pull rabbits out of the hat as well. You know, and we have one or two guys there that are capable of doing that. But I think when you, Liam will be probably saying tomorrow night, lads, championship training starts. The league campaign was there. We did very well. We had an opportunity of winning the league or sharing the league. But as you know, that has been condensed into a situation where there's no matches. So from that perspective, it's not a huge disappointment. I think after the match, you know, the Tip players, you know, warmed down. Liam will have spoken to them. Championship training, you know, tomorrow night, players will be battling for places again. That 21 places is, you know, is a huge honour for the lads to be there, number one, but to get that opportunity to go for jerseys. And, you know, people talk about maybe the older players or things like that, but in actual fact, it's the middle of the road players. Some of these guys have two All-Irelands. The younger guys in their mid-20s, they're the guys that need to find form and really go at this, because I think come the experience of championship, our elder statesmen will come up trumps.
Please God, we hope you're right, Ken. We'll talk, I'm sure, no doubt, as the season progresses. Lots more hurling to cover from a Tipperary point of view, Ken. Thanks indeed for joining us.
Good talk, Ronan.
Not at all. That's Ken Hogan there.
Tip FM's Extra Time with Ronan Quirk.
Opel's next bold move has arrived. The all-new Mokka is tugged out and ready for action. To test drive the all-new Mokka, call to Kevin O'Leary Group Clonmel today.
Okay, let's get more reaction to the game in Walsh Park yesterday, and delighted to be joined in line by Paddy St. Stapleton. How are you, Paddy?
Not too bad, Ron. How are you?
I'm mighty. I wanted to ask you kind of a convoluted first question. When you saw the team that was picked for Walsh Park over the weekend, how close did you think that was to our championship starting 15, and how close do you think it was after the result yesterday?
I suppose when I saw it, I was actually surprised it was as strong as it looked. And I suppose that's why I'm not a manager. Maybe felt like he needed another match into the players, because we probably are a week further away from playing than most teams. We get a bite in the semi-final. So I think it was very, very close to it beforehand. There was probably two, three spots maybe that weren't decided. But as you were saying, maybe after the performance, there could be one or two rethinks. But I do think, you know, people get ahead of themselves and say, you know, that everything's gone now. You know, throw the baby out with the bathwater. I wouldn't be. I think there's a nice body of work done during the league. I do think it shows up again some of our issues we've had over the last year or so. And I think it did look more like a performance from last year which was very disjointed and very open and you know, exposed at the back compared to any of the other performances we had.
Liam Cahill afterwards suggested that because Tipperary are a week further off Championship compared to themselves, that they might have had a week of heavier lifting this week than the Waterford comparison. Is that fair to say?
Not that we don't know for certain, but the thought had certainly crossed my mind that I wouldn't say there'd be much tapering with Tipperary going into last weekend. And it would make sense to me as well, you know, it's your last shot to go kind of hard over the next week or two to get into the Championship mode, because, you know, for the first few weeks of the league, I'd say it was actually, you know, trying not to get players injured, try and get them used to contact and don't get put too much pressure on them, don't put too much running on them. So I'd say that could have been it, but... I think, you know, I'd be more disappointed sort of communication around the field, work rate around breaking balls, little parts like that, kind of getting back into position to stop the holes opening up all over the field. So I'd be disappointed with that, and whether it was training or not, it just probably wasn't up to standard.
I thought our defence did well, which might seem strange to people considering we conceded 229, but there was just a tsunami after tsunami of attack coming in on top of them, and you'd probably be looking to your midfield and your half forward line to work a little harder to try and give your backs a bit of a break.
Yeah, look, I suppose that was the thought that crossed my mind. I think that's what I was happy with over the first four or five games and whatever we had before yesterday, is that we seemed to know what we were doing around the middle third of the field to stop that good ball going in, or to make it a very tight, congested area. And I felt like yesterday we went away from that, but I think it's a great lesson that if you don't take care of the little things and your positioning and making it difficult for the other team out the field, that you'll get punished inside. I think you're right in ways. I mean, the players can only do so much at the back. I've played there before, and if a forward has, you know, time to make two runs, you know, a dummy run and then the run out the side, then you have very, very little chance. I mean, Carl Barrett is probably the most informed cornerback with Sean Finn in the country, and he was finding things really, really difficult. And you know, that just shows how hard it is to play in there if he's even finding it hard.
Well, is that the reason why Craig Morgan came on, do you think, to try and, you know, make it a solid back three?
Possibly, because the ball was going in so easily. Maybe Liam and the management felt that, God, we need another orthodox cornerback.
That's the word I was looking for, orthodox, yeah.
You know, I think a lot of wing-backs or centre-backs will play cornerback or full-back because it's going to be, you know, 50-50 ball. And that's not the hardest to play. When you're really earning your stripes in the full-back line and when the ball is coming in nice and you have to keep really, really tight. And if you're big, you know, Barry Heffernan probably isn't a natural cornerback. Even Brian McGrath, who's been playing, isn't a natural cornerback. So when you're challenged to quickly keep with these absolute rockets in the corner, then you probably need your fast man on there. But I don't think it's any harm giving Craig Morgan a bit more time. I would love to have seen him get more time for whatever reason, injuries or whatever, he didn't get it during the league. But maybe we will have to see a little bit of him during the Championship.
Maybe this is a godsend that, you know, fellas who perhaps thought they were nailed on for a Championship starting place, particularly from 8 upwards, may have to rethink that.
Yeah, I definitely don't think it's the worst thing in the world to happen. Caught the knee playing with Tipperary before, and we've lots of talent in Tip, and sometimes we can get a little bit too relaxed. And I certainly look a little bit relaxed yesterday. And do you know what? We actually hurled well enough early on.
Yeah.
We're kind of opening them up, and I think sometimes when that happens as well, you take the foot off the gas. So certainly, lads, I'd say training will be heavy for the next couple of weeks, and I wouldn't be surprised if there was a bolter or two that maybe we didn't see start and might start the next day. Maybe Liam has saw something even mentally yesterday. You see, maybe some guys are getting too relaxed here. So,
well, Bubbles wasn't on the match day. Bubbles wasn't in the match day squad, and he's somebody who looked good, I think, was against Cork.
Yeah, I think that I see Stephen Gleeson, I had imagery of him up running after the match. So I think he was nursing an injury, which we could do without.
Yeah.
But you know what the thing is, though? Like, Bubbles is an unbelievable player, but Bubbles is similar to John McGrath, similar to Jason Ford and Owen McGrath and Shamie. They're all quite similar forwards. So I don't think his presence would have made a huge amount of difference, because we just weren't at it around the middle third and around the forward line in the way we tracked the runs and the way we made it difficult for Waterford, in that we didn't make it one bit difficult for him. So I think, you know, we'd hope to see Bubbles, but, you know, he's a similar player, so I don't think it's something that would have necessarily turned that around.
Well, then, to finish your point for you, if you'll allow me, we need another Bonner, and they don't grow on trees.
No. They don't grow on trees. they grow every few generations. Yeah. You know, that's how the Kerry is. Look, I suppose during the league, I think what I kind of admired is the management for saying, well, we can't invent a Bonner Maher out of nothing, out of thin air. You can't invent, or you can't make a lad be completely faster, stronger, fitter than he is. You know, you can only work it to a certain point. And I think, you know, Tip management was smart enough to know that they have the players that they have. And they were trying to put a system together that kept us really compact, let people work the way they're able to work and not ask them to do things they're not able. But that, I think, but what I'm saying is kind of like yesterday, I don't think the communication was there or the work rate or the alertness was there that allowed it that to blossom. And so we were opened up again. And I think it just shows if you're a few percentage off at inter-county level, you can get absolutely opened up.
Yeah, absolutely. In terms of the league, across the board, what do we learn for the Munster Championship?
I think we learned that we're actually not too far away from anybody. I think we'll all admit that Limerick are sort of the favourites for the Championship, even though they've been up and down. I think we have seriously talented players. I think we have to appreciate the older players as much as be looking for the replacements. I think we know we're very vulnerable when we are not at it and our communication is low. When we're not just alert to all the dangers that are around us, I think we're very, very vulnerable. But I do think that we know we've scoring power as well. We've scored goals now when we thought we weren't going to score goals. Even in a bad performance yesterday, we scored 3 goals.
Yeah.
So I think we've learned a lot of what we already knew, but I think we can compete with everybody. But it's just that we either need to find one more speedy, athletic player in the forward line to cover the ground, or we need to really be tuned in and know our game and inside out.
Always an education, Paddy. Thanks for your time. That's Paddy Stapleton speaking to me there just before we came on air. Text coming in left, right and centre. Somebody says we should have put out our best team. We should have played Bubbles and John McGrath. Was that text? I'd say I don't think Bubbles was fit, as Paddy suggested there. And I think Liam in his audio also suggested Bubbles wasn't fit to play and we're trying to get him right for 3 weeks. And John McGrath's form has been patchy at best. So I think John played better when he came in as a sub rather than starting, and that'll do him some good in terms of confidence building, and those things kind of need to be nurtured and matured and brought on. Somebody else says, you know, questioning our fullback and whether or not we have the right inside three. No, I think we'll know more when we see the starting Championship 15 in 3 weeks' time. Just before I go to the next thing, I just wanted to say congratulations to Fáil Ó Síochas, who won the under-14D, I think, championship in hurling, beating Kilrán McDonagh's in the final on Saturday in a 2020 delayed competition. Congratulations to Fáil Ó Síochas under-14 hurlers. They don't win too many county titles down in Cláin, so I'm delighted to wish them well and I hope they're listening and all the rest. Okay, let's hear from David Power, because we're changing to Gaelic football now, and I don't think you need to tell me how disappointed David Power was after our defeat to Longford consigned us to Division 4 football for next season. It seems like a long time ago that Conor Sweeney climbed the steps in Páirceachaoin and raised the Munster Cup over his head. But audibly disappointed, David Power spoke to Tip FM's Paul Jenkins after the full time whistle in Pearse Park.
I thought, to be honest with you, we were very, very poor. I just kind of sums up our season. We started okay. I know we got back maybe, I think it was 8 each at one stage. And but even at that stage, I just felt we weren't kicking on the way we were last year. And yeah, I'm very, very disappointed. I think, to be honest with you, like, we have no complaints. Longford are the hungrier team. And you can make up excuses, but there's no excuses. We simply just weren't good enough there today. And it's really depressing, to be honest with you. I don't know, like, with the highs of last year, this is bringing us back down to earth very quick. And don't know, we all have to look at ourselves now and see where we go. Training was going well the last 2 weeks, but Alan Campbell going off early, another blow, and it was just like it's been one of those. It's been really one of those seasons, and it's been very, very frustrating. And but look, this is where we now need to stick together and keep the heads up, and we have to keep working hard. And it's not easy, but look, we're in a very tough place at the minute, and the players are down. We are down. And we just have to get back at it again, and we're going to have to get back just the basics. But yeah, like, when there's no energy out there, it's very, very hard to win any game. and I don't know what it is. It's just, we thought they were coming back in really good condition, but it's really not showing on the field. Whatever it is, we're lacking energy. There's no runners off the ball carriers. There were some aspects I thought, even I thought we had the Longford kick out in trouble in the first half, but we're giving away silly frees, and there was no need to give away silly frees. So, we can do some very good things, but the big thing for me, and this is where it is worrying, is when we have a ball carrier, we have no one coming off the shoulder, absolutely no one, and that's killing us ultimately.
Tip FM's Extra Time with Ronan Quirk.
Opel's next bold move has arrived. The all-new Mokka is tugged out and ready for action. To test drive the all-new Mokka, call to Kevin O'Leary Group Clonmel today.
Okay, let's turn our attention to events in Longford, and this might be a hard listen for lots of fans of Tipperary football who had such a great winter November last year, and then to see where we are now. To try and make sense of a lot of this, Martin Quinlivan joins me on the line. Good evening to you, Martin.
Evening, Ronan. How are you?
Is it possible to make sense of this?
No, quite frankly, no, it's not. We've fallen off the edge of a cliff, results-wise, but which can happen. But more disappointingly, I suppose, is performance-wise. Some of the very basics that are coached into players, even at club level, work rate, aggression, trying to do things at pace, thinking your feet, that were just sadly absent yesterday. And, probably in truth, if you were to critically analyse the four matches in the league, they'd be more or less absent in all of them. Now, what the cause of that is, I suppose, there are good people involved in the group, and there's good people involved in the management. And I'm sure they're scratching their heads since yesterday and since the last number of weeks. You can give some reasons in terms of absence of players and disruption and losing, two and three players through injury in each of the games. But they're reasons. But, in fairness, I don't think there any excuse for kind of the level of performance yesterday, given that everybody knew what was at stake. So it's deeply disappointing. But
what for me the most disappointing aspect of it was, we didn't go down swinging. Had we gone to Longford and lost and put in a really heartfelt performance, I think that would have, it would have softened the blow of Division 4 football a little bit. But the lack of a degree of passion that you'd expect from that team was disappointing.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, it seemed that we were kind of, felt we were in the game. Just no sooner got it to 8 points each when, conceded a goal, which defensively you'd be disappointed with. But and I think you could almost physically see players' shoulders sag at that stage. And as you said, that was really disappointing. If you go through pretty much every other team, irrespective of division, that suffered, relegation or disappointment, as you said, at least they had a goal. Maybe Tyrone, possibly the game got away on them very, very early. But right across the weekend, every team, Limerick, Clare, that results didn't go their way. They had a cut at it. They had a swing. They would take some positives for the game, but you'd really be searching. And the performance in Longford yesterday to find some positives from a Tipperary perspective, and that's very, very disappointing.
But you look at Wicklow. Wicklow were able, they were the underdogs, they were kind of written off. Maybe that's what they used to motivate themselves, but they're a Division 3 team next year. And, with all due respect to Wicklow, we're better than that.
Well, we did beat them a couple of weeks ago.
I know.
In the midst of our malaise. But look, at the end of the day, Ronan, you have to accept the outcome of your results. We've said it over the last number of weeks. If in any given year, no matter what the circumstances, if you can't get anything, and this is no disrespect, to teams of the calibre of Offaly, Limerick and Longford, which we didn't, then unfortunately you have to put your hand up and say that the performances, for whatever reason, are no better than the basement division of the league, and that's where we're headed. And look, in a way, Ronan, if you're being realistic, we were probably heading there last year.
Yeah, I do accept that point, and it's a point well made. But you've said a couple of times now, Martin, for whatever reason, you'll understand why people are looking for a reason and an explanation.
Yeah, and I'm sure the management team and even the players are probably looking for a reason. I mean, the best example I can actually come up with, Ronan, is something like Liverpool suffered this year.
Okay, that's a fair point. So, you know, they talk about the difficult second
injuries to key players, a huge loss of form by other players whose standards are better than what they produced. And, after a big success, after a long wait, there are some similarities. And I'm sure, Jurgen Klopp has had access to the best brains and psychologists and whatnot that money can buy to advice. And, okay, at the end of the year, they turned it around. But, they turned a very mediocre season into a successful season on the back of their goalkeeper coming up and scoring in the 95th minute. Other than that, they wouldn't have finished in the top four. And, they just got a bit of a break. But I don't know, is it a kind of a Liverpool effect? I mean, look, we have to also acknowledge, Ronan, it's 1965, the last time a Tipperary, in hurling team backed up an All-Ireland victory
with
the following year. So we've consistently, I don't know, is it inbuilt in us, when we've achieved high, the following year has been a fallow period. And footballers have suffered the same way. Look,
therefore,
it was a sprint, to be honest, of a season of a league, right? And we said, I think last week and the week before, so much turned in that first game. You win that first game against Limerick, and it looks like we were undercooked or whatever. And I think your year is a different tint on it completely. And we lost it, and then effectively it was an uphill battle from there. And we didn't rise to the challenge. There's no point in saying otherwise,
So is there an argument to be made that last year was a sense that we'd conquered Everest, and we, as a group of players, we may never get to that heights of a Munster title again, and that we put boundaries on the march of our footballing nation, without trying to paraphrase Parnell too much? I'm essentially asking whether we need a sports psychologist as much as anyone else as part of that backroom team to make them realise that this was a stepping stone to further advancement.
Yeah. Possibly, maybe there's a subconscious viewpoint that they've achieved the goal of their career now. It's in the bank. They will, irrespective of yesterday and what's happened this year, like, that group of players will be remembered forever as, for what they achieved on the 20th of November last year. And maybe they found motivation hard, and it might only be a couple of percent. And just the fact, when you wear the mantle of champions, the teams you're playing against are raising their game against you as well, and you've got to react to that. But the one thing, and look, it still comes back to it, Roland, like, those are circumstances. Sometimes those are outside your control. But you do control your effort, and you do control the fight, and you do control, what you put into the game. And we sadly didn't see that yesterday. And in a game where, we've said, and the management have said, and commentary is there, that, like, yesterday was our All-Ireland final and our Munster final for 2021, and we didn't turn up. Mm. And, I'm sure, and I would hope that the players have all looked at themselves, in the mirror. Since I'm sure the management also have to start looking at themselves in the mirror. The only performance, and this is, they're not meaning anything by this, far from it, but the only performance I can remember in the last 10 years that would be as abject as yesterday was the performance we put in down in Wexford Park in around 2013-14 league game. We got beaten by 20-something points, and I'm fairly certain John Evans resigned straight afterwards.
In the dressing room, exactly right.
Right, and it was that bad, and I think yesterday, from a performance point of view, was on a par. Now, I'm not saying that this management should, they have enough credit in the bank, God knows, not to even, that isn't even in the equation. But I'm just giving a context for maybe some of the listeners to say, well, it was that poor a performance, and we have to accept it. And look, we've now got to look forward, and we've, 4 weeks' time, our next Saturday, 3 weeks, we'll be hopefully in Thurles. If it's Kerry, it's in Thurles. And what are we to play for? I mean, we'll be 100-1 outsiders, deservedly so. I don't think the possibility of us beating them on all known form will be there, but we can damn well expect a performance of pride and passion and fight and heart and aggression. It's a free swing, but having said that, you got to go in and swing.
I didn't mind.
The personnel involved will set that now as their goal to say, this year will not end with a repeat performance as to what we all suffered through yesterday.
Absolutely. I got to go, Martin, but many thanks for your contribution throughout the league. We'll talk to you when Championship comes around, hopefully more than once. Take care and mind yourself.
Cheers, Ronan.
Tip FM's Extra Time with Ronan Quirk.
Opel's next bold move has arrived. The all-new Mokka is tugged out and ready for action. To test drive the all-new Mokka, call to Kevin O'Leary Group Clonmel today.
Our text number is 083-311-3311. And Martin Quinlivan's analysis or comparison between Liverpool and Tipperary football certainly got you animated in relation to that. But I know the point he was trying to make. You know, when you've got only a short amount of time, a short window to get hurling and football analysis, you do what I always do and you go to a man from Loughmore Castellini who can inform you. How are you, Tom McGrath?
Good, Roland, thanks.
Good talking to you again this year, my friend. I'll start with hurling. Can you take the temperature of Tipperary hurling for us?
Sure, it is. You nearly have two thermometers, I suppose. You look, I said, like yesterday morning, if you give me 321, say, yeah, 321 will win in Walsh Park, be a great score. And then if you said that Walsh will score 229, I don't think, I wouldn't be really believing it, like, but that's what happened. So you had, like, not quite a game of two halves, but two contrasting halves of the pitch, I suppose, like that. It's where there's a lot of analysis to be done and see where the problems really are, but I'm inclined to come down the side that is a bit of both, that the old mantra was that defence started at 15 and came backwards. And well, no, whatever the shenanigans to be about setups with regard to spare men and extra men and space and all this type of stuff, you have to really see the match in front of you to do a proper analysis on it, I think. And, you know, unfortunately, very few people are doing that at the minute. But, no, it's just, it's disappointing, I suppose, the way the thing has finished up, because there was great hope, I suppose, after the win against Galway, and probably a thing that came back to haunt us a bit again. Both the Galway match and yesterday was our concession of frees. We had done very well with the new refereeing interpretation of the rules in the first few matches, and then it kind of went wrong both yesterday and the Galway match. We conceded a good bit from frees, so plenty to work on, but plenty to be positive about too. But like,
better learn it now in Walsh Park than perhaps in Páirc Uí Chaoimh or something against Waterford and or Clare in 3 weeks' time.
The only thing, I suppose, Ron, is that we seem that bit exposed with our backline when the opposition start running at us, and the fear I'd have is that Páirc Uí Chaoimh is a likely venue that's bigger than Walsh Park, and you know
everywhere is bigger than Walsh Park. My back garden's bigger than both.
Yeah. But anyway, hopefully they'll make it bigger at some stage anyway. So,
okay. All right. Well, I think that's fair. And, you know, I kind of put the same question to you as I put to Saint. The starting 15, did you think that the starting 15 against Waterford had a look of a Championship 15 against about it? And how...
Yeah, well, I would say 12, maybe 12, 13. There's probably a couple of places. And you'd say maybe the places may not be quite, but personnel, definitely. I thought we had initially when I looked at the Waterford team, kind of said, yeah, we have plenty to do a number on them. But then it turned out a lot different. That Waterford got, you know, like it's very hard to expect a crowd to turn over in their home pitch as well like this.
Yeah.
This pride and all that thing comes ahead, and then there's the Liam Cahill, Mikey Bevan's approach and all that. That's all, you know, an awful lot of things factored into yesterday, and sure, that's only going to ratchet up come Championship. So, like, you know, I don't think we'll need much motivation if it's Waterford in Páirc Uí Chaoimh in 3 weeks' time.
Don't think so. I'm going to have to move on. Alan Campbell may well have played his last game for Tipperary football after yesterday. I know he's got a job that he has to go to in the far side of the Atlantic, and we wish him well. And I think he's done some hamstring difficulty, so hope that doesn't impair his exploits in New York. That's an awful last game to play for Tipperary.
Yeah, I suppose, but I wasn't totally shocked, really. I suppose, like, what you say at the start, like, is that, look, there's no way the relegation and promotion thing should have been determined on a home and away basis. I think there was enough venues available everywhere, and that just didn't apply to Tipperary's match yesterday. I mean, I think we were going to have difficulty beating Longford no matter where we were playing them, because, look, we're Munster champions, but the 15, our 15 versus, you know, in terms of preparation and manpower and all that, versus what we had for the match against Cork last year are totally different at this stage. You know, between injuries and fellas not available and retirements and one thing.
Yeah, but Longford weren't shooting lights out now. Like, Longford were a bit in the wilderness after their three league games as well.
Well, true, but I think we had we probably had dropped further than they had dropped in terms of, you know, it's a big blow to fellas' self-esteem, I suppose, really. You know, Munster champions, given a right rattling in All-Ireland semi-final and then sort of being hard-looking in the league. A small thing, and you weren't in that match yesterday. You were looking the other way. And, you know, given I thought the way we were with the resources we had available to us and who we didn't have available, I thought that we were kind of where we were. But now we are where we are, and it's
okay.
You know, I take your point.
But a lot of our texters would say, and I'm going to quote you, Tom, on this: it's not about the size of the dog; it's about the fight in the dog. And I didn't see any fight in that dog.
Yeah, but like tis the adversity, I suppose, that they're in, and like.
But why are they in adversity?
I'd be that bit sympathetic towards them. Like, just take two examples. I suppose two big players we had in the Munster final last year would have been Michael Quinlivan and Colin O'Riordan.
And Kevin Fahey, Bill Maher, you know, I mean, our half back line that day was superb, Robbie Kiley.
But take the two, and work on from there then, and it's all about scoring, you see. And if you're shorn of your attacking prowess, well, then it makes it easier for the opposition to curtail you and hit you on the brakes and all that type of stuff. Yeah. So,
okay.
I mean, we are where we are, but I would say that, not making excuses for Tipperary are like, but I think it's a bigger shock to Kevin's system, I think, that they're down there, like.
I think the shock is comparable.
It's not a good place, but like, it's, you know, there's only one way from there, and that's up, and just build on it and work for championship next year, like.
Tom, it's always good talking to you. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Sorry, not to be more positive, Ronan, but that's the way it is.
No, I think you're more positive than I am, to be blunt. you're more glass half full. I wish I was. So fair play to you, and thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, Tom.
Welcome, Ronan.
God bless.
Bye.
Cheers. Bye bye. Tom McGrath, the always super Tom McGrath, with his thoughts on hurling and football. Let's go to Camogie because Killian Whelan is on the line to talk to us about Camogie. Good evening to you, Killian.
Thank you, Ronan. Great to be following the great Tom McGrath again.
Well, he is the great Tom McGrath, and all the McGraths are great, but everyone in Tip knows that. So I want to ask you about if you were a fly on the wall in the Tipperary Camogie dressing room, you know, just how disappointed would those girls have been as a result of that defeat?
I would imagine very, Ronan, because I would say, you know, they weren't publicly talking themselves up, but they, in regards to that, they had to, you know, this game would have been an opportunity for them to have a knock at one of the big three, but they definitely, it was something, you know, the confidence around the camp and everything, I would feel that they, you know, they felt it themselves. And with 7-8 minutes to go in Nolan Park, you know, they seemed to have answered everything that Kilkenny had thrown at them. It probably wasn't a vintage Kilkenny performance, and that was all down to Tipperary. And even when I was just thinking of Denise Gall in the 51st and 52nd minute, she got 2 points and it narrowed it to a goal. And I remember saying on commentary on the stream to Elaine Aylward that, you know, it's getting a bit dangerous now because a goal all of a sudden, you know, and Tip went down the field and the answer were 2 Costa Van points. And I was thinking, OK, they're going to see this out. And I know I said it to Bill Mullaney at different times, but of course, I know the old adage, and Tip, I'm sure, know the old adage, and all the sport, when you're playing Kilkenny, they have to be on the bus on the way home before they're beaten, Ronan. And they just, you know, again, Denise Gall steps up and, you know, decided to have a shot off, drop it towards the crossbar and maybe see what happens. And, you know, she was lucky, I suppose, in a way the ball ended up in the back of the net. And then Katie Nolan got a fine goal after that. And I just think Tip started to take on a little bit of water then, and you know, the game just fell out then to its inevitable conclusion. But a cracking contest, you'd have to say, and I think there's an awful lot of positives to be taken from it, Ronan.
I take that point, and I'm going to bring in Geraldine Cannan as well. So good evening to you, Geraldine.
Good evening, Ronan.
Okay, there are positives there, there's no doubt about it. But how did you feel that this was a potential breakthrough victory for Tip, because nobody likes to lose classics? I'd prefer to win a dour match than lose a classic.
Yeah, look, I suppose 30 hours later, I'm still trying to figure out how we did lose it. Do you know, like, we seemed like the better team for so much of that game, and talking to Bill afterwards, he mentioned about controlling and managing the game. And I think maybe, you know, near the end, maybe 5-6 minutes to go, we should have adjusted our style a bit. I think this running it, you know, running it out from defence and sharp passing and then sharp puck out at that stage of the game, when that heat, when the backs, when, you know, our defence were absolutely shattered, you know, I thought we should have slowed down the game and, you know, taken maybe the easier options, just clearing a few balls and getting a breather. And, you know, they were continuously running and running. And I think that's, you know, looking back on it now, just, you know, little things like that that could have made a difference. And at the end of the day, Kilkenny punished our mistakes as well. But very hard to criticise the performance, because I just thought it was, you know, the girls were immense. They played really well. It was a pleasure to watch and to witness it, because it was one of the best performance I've seen. I just love the style of camogie they're playing at the moment, and it's, you know, real brave attacking camogie. But it's hard too, you know, because if you make a mistake, you're caught out then at the back, because, you know, the backs are running up the field, and if the ball breaks down, you know, you'll be punished, you know.
So it's game management then, Killian, is it, for Tip to work on?
Yeah, I think Geraldine hit the nail right firmly on the head there. I think it was a little bit of that. Probably a little bit of leadership just required in the closing stages. I think, I have to say, Ronan, it was 23 degrees on the centre of Nolan Park at 1 o'clock yesterday. I think they just went so much to the well that the lungs started to give out. The brain probably did a little bit as well. And I just think, as Geraldine said there, they probably just needed someone to maybe game manage. If you remember after the goal, it was decided to go with a short puck out after the goal. It ended up being turned over, and Katie Nolan was back in then, and there was two goals in 90 seconds. Sarah Friday, to me, was a big loss. She obviously, you know, maybe ran her race or whatever. She was taken off. I think she would have been an option in a few puckouts that might have just, you know, they needed to relieve a bit of pressure. I'm not sure short puckouts, as Geraldine mentioned there, were what was needed in the closing stages, because at one stage, Emer Lachman got a ball, and she would turn straight into three Kilkenny players and just wasn't able to... she eventually worked herself out, but it wasn't something she needed to be doing, I think, with a couple of minutes to go. The ball needed to be, as far as I'm concerned, as far down the other end of the field as possible.
Absolutely.
I know there was a strong breeze in Nolan Park, Ronan, and everything, but I just think a little bit of game management, and it was a harsh lesson to take going out in Nolan Park yesterday evening.
I'm caught for time, Jerry. I'm just going to ask you one question to react to the group draw that we got for the Senior Championship. We're in a group with Wexford, Limerick and Offaly.
Yeah, and we have to be looking at the top of this group.
Yeah, I fully agree with you. On the basis of what I saw yesterday.
Yeah, but look, Limerick, Wexford and Offaly, they've been looking at Tip as the team that they're going out to beat. You know, I think Killian mentioned before, you know, they would see the top three is out of their reach for this year, and it's Tip that they're trying to catch. So that's why we have to be very careful too.
Okay, Killian and Ger, I'm really grateful to you both for your time. I'll talk soon.
Thank you, Ron.
Thanks indeed. That's Kilkenny beating Tip with that, I don't know, phenomenal two goals in a minute, 3-12 to 19 points. Real disappointing for those Tip girls. They just thought they were on the cusp of a breakthrough and getting into a league final. And just to wrap up, a disappointing week all round, let's have a quick word with Sam Lambert. How are you, Sam?
Hi, Ronan. How are you?
Good. You sound more upbeat than I am, so fair play to you. It was disappointing. I just thought when we got back in the lead in the second half, we were going to kick on, but Westmeath caught us then in the end.
Yeah, they did. I suppose they found that extra gear. I thought we had the momentum. Maybe we got it a bit too early. You know, we didn't really want the water break to come when we were got going. But look, Westmead seemed to be able to counteract what we were at, and it was unfortunate for the girls that they got into the lead again and held that lead until the end.
But not for the first time this year since that I've seen the Tip girls. I just think the last quarter, we look very flat, and I'm wondering how, you know, are we championship fit ready?
Yeah, I'd say the girls were tired. I suppose it was a hot day as well. And I know it was, I suppose, exhausting for the Westmeath girls to stay in that heat too. But yeah, it seems to be that they seem to be dying off in the last few minutes of the game, which can have a huge impact in the results, and we've seen that, I suppose, in the last number of games in the league. So something to look at, I suppose, as to why the performance is dropping maybe in the last few minutes. Maybe it's concentration levels, or is it fitness levels? But look, I suppose they have to see the positive performance as well, and see what they can improve on going into the championship. I mean, it's going to be difficult with Meath and Cork both competing in Division 1 and 2 league finals, you know, so they'll be getting another brilliant game under their belt in preparation for championship. So it's important that I suppose the girls lift their heads again after being relegated. Very disappointing, but they have a championship to look forward to, and they need to perform in that.
You know, we talk about the Camogie girls, you know, having a breakthrough win, trying to get that breakthrough win to get into a final and compete for the top silverware. I feel really strongly that Division 1 is our level in ladies football. I think we absolutely belong there. So that's what I think this relegation is so disappointing.
Yeah, definitely. And look, it's not easy, Ronan, to get up to Division 1, if I'm being honest. Like, you look at Kerry there the last few years, stuck low in Division 2. Do they deserve to be down there? Definitely not, like, you know. So it's a huge hit, I suppose, for Tip ladies. Going back down to Division 2 doesn't necessarily say you'll get back up there in the next few years, you know. So huge difference between Division 1, Division 2 and Division 3 and yeah. 4, obviously. So, like, you want to be competing against the top teams. And, yeah, we do belong there, but I suppose you have to win games and to stay up there, and we just didn't do it this year.
No, I think you make a fair point about Kerry. Like, maybe I'm being unfair to Division 2, because if Kerry are there, then obviously the standard is high. Meath, they're a good team. We've seen them play the girls before. Sam, it's good talking to you. I've got to fly, but we'll talk to you as the championship comes around.
Absolutely.
Thanks for your time. That's Sam Lambert, former Tip captain, All-Ireland winning Tip captain indeed, joining us there. Just before we go tonight, we've only got a few minutes left, but I just want to touch on Royal Ascot. It's happening tomorrow. It starts tomorrow, and David Burns is on the line. How are you, David?
I'm good, Ronan. How are you?
I'm good, David. I, like a lot of our listeners perhaps, expect the Coolmore Ballydoyle Goliath to be so competitive at the Classics every year, and they've been there thereabouts, but it hasn't been the Classic season they would have expected or wanted. Is there a touch of salvation about Royal Ascot for the Ballydoyle team this year?
Well, look, I suppose it's all very fine to say, but you know, competition has got so great all over. You know, the best of flat horses in the UK as well. John Gosden, very strong. Mark Johnson over there is very, very strong as well. So it hasn't just been been about Ballydoyle having the dominance maybe that they once had, but Royal Ascot, certainly they've got some very, very big chances this week. You know, just to look ahead to some of the big races, you start off tomorrow, you've got Palace Pier, he's a short price favourite to win the opener. Betash, a very exciting runner, a great sprinter, he's won in Royal Ascot before. His chances, of course, depend on how he gets down to the start. And looking forward to Wednesday, looking forward to Love Running for Aidan O'Brien, last year's Oaks winner, and I think she is probably the bet of the week in my opinion. And also then you've got the Gold Cup on Thursday, Ronan, and all eyes will be on Stradivarius. Frankie Dettori says he's as good as ever, so we're looking forward to some tremendous tussles over the few days of Royal Ascot. And I suppose the great thing about Royal Ascot as well is the international flair to it. We have horses coming from America. Wesley Ward runs a few this week, and I think that's what makes the 4 or 5 days of Royal Ascot so special.
Okay, Aidan O'Brien sending over Order of Australia, and a lot of people remember him for, he's a Breeders' Cup mile winner.
Yeah, look, I suppose, Ronan, you know, good horses, you've got to send him across. He's got so many good battleground goes across this week. Aidan's got so many good chances. And, but as I said to you, the races are ultra competitive over there. And but he's got amazing chances. The one, as I said, Love on Wednesday for me, it's the most exciting one, I think. And I also think, you know, tomorrow we've got the feature race tomorrow. Poetic Flair, we have to mention, for Jim Bulger, who's had a really, really tough season so far. Won the English 2000 Guineas, was disappointing in France, and came back in and did what he did in the Irish 2000 Guineas. And to go to Royal Ascot with this horse, what an achievement it will be if he comes out tomorrow and wins. But I fancy Battleground to give him a lot to think about tomorrow. It's an intriguing race and plenty to look forward to.
Should I keep an eye on Johnny Murta's ride? He's the ones he's trained.
Again, look, there's a couple of, they all going across there with hope. You go across the Royal Ascot and you're hoping more so than anything else. You know, you're hoping that your horses are going to run well in these, because as I said, they are some competitive affairs. You're going out in some of these races and you'll be scratching your head. I've been studying the form for tomorrow quite a lot today, and I can tell you it's very, very difficult. You could make a case for 5 and 6 in every race, even more, and even at that you'll probably get a 22 or 25 to 1 winner to come out and surprise you. So I suppose that's what makes the brilliance of this great few days racing, and really looking forward to it.
Yeah, you mentioned John Godson. He's got such quality as well. I think Palace Pier is one of his, coming out of Kingsman.
that's right, running tomorrow in the opening race, 9-4 on favours. You're not going to be playing on him if you're a fiver or a tenner punter. He looks so solid in the opening race, and as I said, Stradivarius on Thursday, Frankie Dettori, he couldn't seem to be any happier with him. And John Gosden, you know, you mentioned about at the start of the interview about Ballydoyle, but you must remember, look at the strength and depth of Godolphin horses that are there.
Yes, absolutely. That's fair.
It's not just as easy as going across and picking out these races and winning them, because, as I said, it's fierce, the competition. But John Gosden, I expect to have a good week. He's got some very strong prospects, and he'll start it off, I think, with a winner on the opening day in the first rate with Palace Beer.
Well, I hope you've picked a few winners for us, David, in the course of the last 4 minutes. I wish you well and talk soon.
Thank you, Ronan. All the best.
David Burns joining us there. Always good to mark your card. And anyway, that's all we've time for tonight. My thanks to everyone who contributed to tonight's show. Ian O'Connor produced. We'll be back with you next Monday night. Don't forget, Across the Line on Friday at 6 with Shane Brophy. We'll talk to you next week. Good night and good luck. On